Just a word on the topic. I believe we just discussed the role of the commoner, the individual, their attitude towards the malchus. I'm going to discuss the other end, the role of the government, what the Torah's perspective and view on government is. Now, of course, the 40 minutes allotted, we can't really discuss democracy, monarchy, and anarchy all in these 40 minutes. But I want to just stress one particular aspect of government related to President's Day. That is, again, the role of the king or president, what role he should play in the government. And before that, even more basic, is there even a mitzvah in the Torah to have a king or not? And once we establish that, what would the role of such a king or president be? So there are 10 psukim dedicated in the Chumash towards the mitzvah of a king and other mitzvahs associated, how many wives he can marry, how many horses he can have, how much money he can have. So just to pull out 2 psukim that address whether or not there's a mitzvah of a king or not. And these psukim are found in Parsha Shoftim. So it reads as follows. Kisavo el haaretz, when you enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, asher Hashem elokecha nosen lach, that land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you, v'yirishta v'yishavta ba, and you're going to inherit it and settle the land. V'amarta, they will say, asim alai melech, Klal Yisrael will say, please give us a king, kechol hagoyim asher sivivosai, give us a king like all the nations around us. From this pasuk, it seems that there's no requirement to have a king. It's a prophetic statement that the Torah is saying when you enter Eretz Yisrael, they're going to request a king. So if they request a king, what should you do? What should the response be? So the Torah writes in pasuk Tezvav, Som tasim alecha melech, you should place upon yourself a king, you should grant their request. Asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo, but it could only be a king who ultimately Hashem will choose vis-a-vis a Navi, but Hashem says you could grant their request. Mikerva Checha, such a king has to come from within yourselves, a member of Klal Yisrael. Tasim alecha melech, lo sucha lases alecha ishnachu, you can't have a non-Jewish king, asher lo achichahu, who is not one of your brethren. So we're talking here, just to clarify, a Jewish government, not a, you know, America in Israel, what an ideal Jewish government should be. So the first part, it sounds like they request the king, and we respond, you could give them the king, but it sounds like there is not a mitzvah of appointing a king. So the Gemara Sanhedrin has a few shitas in the Tanaim. If there's a role, if there's a mitzvah of a king, if there's not a mitzvah of a king, and what role perhaps a king should play. So the Gemara Sanhedrin, Chaf Amud Beis, and the second parak of Sanhedrin, is half of it at least, is dedicated towards the role of a king. The other half discusses a little bit about a Kohen Gadol. So here in the second parak of Sanhedrin, Ketanait, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol HaOmer Parshas Melech, everything that's said in this Parsha of Melech, Melech Mutterbo. He's allowed to do it. He's allowed to become a king. He's allowed to have a Sefer Torah. All those things are Mutterbo. Sounds like it's a Rishus. It's allowed. It's not a Chiv. It's not an obligation, but it's permitted. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Nemu Parsha Zu. The whole entire Parsha of Melech, the whole function of a Melech, Kidei La'ayim Aleyam, in order to instill fear among Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi aren't really addressing the same question. It sounds very strange. Rabbi Yossi is talking about what a king's allowed to do, and Rabbi Yehuda says what exactly the function of a king is. Shneamar, how does Rabbi Yehuda know this? Som tosim alecha melech. They're making a play in the words of tosim shetehei emasa. They're separating the word tosim shetehei emasa alecha. That the fear, the king should instill fear among the nation of Klal Yisrael. V'chein hayah Rabbi Yehuda omer. The chein is a little strange here. But shlosh mitzvos, I bolded the words mitzvos, nitztavu Yisrael b'knitzas on l'aretz. 3 mitzvos Klal Yisrael were commanded when entering Eretz Yisrael. L'hamid l'hem melech, one of them is establishing themselves a king. And the Gemara refers to it as a mitzvah. Here we call it a mitzvah. Earlier we said it was mutterbo, it sounds like it's a rishus. What are the other 3 mitzvahs? L'hachiz zaro she'amalek, to wipe out Amalek, u'livnos l'hem beis ha'bechira, and ultimately to build the beis ha'migdash. Those are the 3 mitzvahs, but for our purposes, the fact that Lahamid Lahem Melech is a mitzvah is very important. And Rabbi Nehura Omer, Lo Nemu Parshazu, Ela Kineged Taru Mosan. Now, the only reason why this pasuk was established, not because of a mitzvah, to help with to deal with the complaints of Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael wanted a king like the other nations, so in order to satisfy their complaint, that's why they had a Parshas Melech, a mitzvah of Melech. So reading from this Chazal here in Sanhedrin, there are a few important lashonos. Is it a mitzvah? Is it simply mutter? What is the role of a king? Is it simply to instill fear? Perhaps there's more of a role of a king. So let's look at some of the Rishonim, how they weigh in on this question of whether there's a mitzvah or not. The Ibn Ezra on this pasuk Som Tasim, he says it's Rishus. It's a decision. If they want to have a king, they can. If they don't want to have a king, they don't have to have a king. The Ramban, on the other hand, says Aldasar Bosenu, based on the Sifri, Kemova Amar Asimo Lai Melech Vihi Mitzvas Asay Sheyechayv Osanu Lomar Kain Acha Yushav Yeshiva. It's an obligation on us, the people of Klal Yisrael. Once we enter Eretz Yisrael, we have to request a king. We must. There's a chiyuv d'oraisa, a mitzvah asay, to have a king. Ramban and Ibn Ezra argue on this point. Seems to be whether monarchy or anarchy would be the ideal. Is the ideal to have a king or not to have a king? And most interesting is the Netziv. The Netziv's parish, the Hemek Davar and the Chumash, he writes, there is a mitzvah, but only a particular event happens. El al karchach mitzvah hi, it is a mitzvah, when we call makom, ein Sanhedrin, mitzuvim, they're not required, Sanhedrin, to give a king, ad sheyomru ha'am shirotim b'hanagas melech, until the people decide, we want a king. The people don't have to want a king. The Ramban says the people have to request a king. The Netziv says they don't have to request. If they want, they want democracy, they want to have the ability to decide on something, they say, we want one ruler. If that's the case, then there's a mitzvah to listen to what they say and to grant them a king. This is somewhat in the democracy camp, not quite, because Klal Yisrael, they don't get to decide who is the king, but they get to request the king. And once they request the king, we grant their request. So those are three basic opinions in the Rishonim, and the Abar Brunel is very much, he's a big sheet I didn't bring in here, he's very much into that the king is not a mitzvah, it's a rishus. He talks very lengthy about democracy. But the three basic shittas are, it's a rishus to have a king, there's a chiyuv to have a king, or only there's a mitzvah once the people want it. Once that's established, let's discuss what exactly the role of a king should be. Now this next part we'll spend most of the time on, it's not going to be clear cut, there are two sides how to look at it, it's either this or this and everything. There's a range of shittas, around 6-7 different opinions about what exactly the main role of the king should be. And it should be, I guess, more food for thought. But there are around 6-7 different opinions. So let's go through them. So Kli Yakar, on this pasuk in Shoftim, quoting the Mishnah that Rabbi Leibowitz quoted in Avos, writes, Kidei lahatil mara al kulam. The purpose, the main purpose of a king is in order to instill fear on the nation. He writes at the end, Elo letzorach kibbutz v'tika hamidinos. Also, Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned the function should be in order to fix the roads, make sure everything's functioning properly in the nation overall. But ach, b'ofen zeh, this reason is only in order to accomplish shetehei emas malchus aleihem, in order that there should be ema and fear throughout Klal Yisrael. That's the ultimate purpose of a king. Not so much a role. There is a certain role he has in terms of fixing the Medina, but he's more just a figure. An individual who lives up there in his palace, that we should be fearful of him. That's the main role of having a king. Distant from the people. The Or HaChaim, on the other hand, also here in Parsha Shoftim, views a king more as a military leader, as a general of some sort. And he has the question, the first pasuk we mentioned in Parsha Shoftim says, when they decide to have a king, so then you could grant them the request. But it's only up to them. They requested it. But the second pasuk says, Som Tosim Alecha Melech, sounds like an obligation, a tzivor, that you should place a king upon themselves. Is it a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? So he says there are really two types of military leaders. There's the general who's confident in his own abilities, his own tactics and strategies, and that's not the type of king that we want. That was the first pasuk, with the king, where the people said, we want a king, kechol hagoyim, like the other nations. That's the military leader that we don't want. The type of general that we do want, Or HaChaim writes, is kidei shehashem yaseh b'zchuso kiderech shehashem moshir Yisrael b'yad ha'shoftim u'b'yad malchi Yisrael ha'ksher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a king and a general, a ruler, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring about a geula through him. Not because the king thinks he has the great knowledge of battle and war, but he should be someone who is of great stature like David HaMelech, and through him HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the ultimate warrior. But not that he should be confident in his own abilities. So the Or HaChaim, also similar to the Kli Yakar, where he has very little role of the king, he's more of an image. The Kli Yakar's image was to instill fear in the nation. The Or HaChaim's role of a king was to be a vehicle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring about a Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. a very little functional role. The Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvos Tov Tzadi Zayin, says that it's impossible, you can't have shalom without a king. That's why you need a king. Ki lo yiskayim yishuv ha'am b'shalom bilti zu. You can't have peace unless you have one leader. He says, look what I wrote by in the mitzvah of cursing a nasi. I elaborated there. There's an issue, you can't curse a nasi. Nasi, what the difference between a nasi and a melech is, but that's one of the yisurim. So you look back at mitzvah ayin aleph from number four, what's the role of a nasi? And also a king, he says, mipnei shedeus b'nei adam chalukim zeh mizeh. There are many different opinions among people. No one could agree on one thing, obviously. Lo yaskimu kulam li'olam l'das achas. They won't have one opinion. Lasos davar mikol advarim. U'mitoch kach, yotzmi b'neim abidil v'asifa b'fulos. They're never going to get anything done. Nothing will get accomplished. Everyone has their own opinion. And therefore, v'al kein tzrichim l'kabel das echad. You need, therefore need one ruler, one king mayhem, im tovim ra, leman yitzlechu v'yasku b'viskei ha'olam. In order that things should get done. If you don't have one person making decisions, nothing can get accomplished. So the Sefer HaChinuch gives the king, empowers him much more, that there is a real role to a king. He has to be the policymaker. Not a warrior like the Or HaChaim, not this image of instilling fear, but he's the policymaker. Perhaps he could consult with his advisors, of course, but you need one person making those final decisions. And that's the Sefer HaChinuch, ultimately to bring shalom to the nation, but particularly in the role of making decisions. Now the Rambam, what's the Rambam Shita? So the Rambam in Yad Chazaka, the Yad Chazaka and all the halachas of the Rambam, it's called Yad Chazaka, Yad 14, because he has 14 halachim, 14 svarim, zmanim, mada, and others. The very last sefer, the 14th sefer is Sefer Shoftim, and the very last set of halachas in Sefer Shoftim is Hilchas Melachim. And at the end of Hilchas Melachim, he talks about Melach HaMashiach. That's at the end, because that's what we hope for, of course. So the Radbaz, who, like the Rambam, also lived in Cairo. Radbaz, end of the 15th century, he was born, he was exiled from Spain, eventually settled in Cairo, was the chief rabbi there, and he has many comments on the Rambam. Gave him a few hundred years afterwards. And the few svarim that he writes on, he wants to explain why the Rambam put certain set of halachas in different svarim. For example, in Sefer Shoftim, the 14th Sefer of the Rambam. Why does he put Hilchas Sanhedrin there? Well, because Hilchas Sanhedrin is the first one. Because Hilchas Sanhedrin, of course, deals with Shoftim. Followed by Hilchas Edus, because again, Sanhedrin deals with testimony and Edim. And then there's Hilchas Mamrim, which is primarily talking about Zakin Mamre, which is a member of the Sanhedrin who rebelled against the other members of the Sanhedrin. Also included there is Kibud Aveim. And then there's Hilchas Avel, which Rambam himself, I think, might be the only time that he actually justifies why he places something in a certain set of halakhas at any other places. Hilchas Avel is the only one that I could think of, but Hilchas Avel is there because since people get killed from the Sanhedrin, and there's a certain amount of Avelis, so the Avelis and the Misa are connected, so he has to justify that one. And then Hilchas Melachim. Why is Hilchas Melachim in Sefer Shoftim? So the Radbaz writes that because we want to talk about Yimos Mashiach, and since it's the last Sefer and the last set of halachas, it should just be at the end. There's no real fundamental reason why Hilchas Melachim is in Sefer Shoftim. Then he says, maybe because Sanhedrin chooses a melech, so maybe that's why I connected to Sanhedrin. That really doesn't work out so well, because Sanhedrin also chooses a Kohen Gadol. They don't need a Kohen Gadol in Sefer Shoftim. So what's the reason why the Rambam places Hilchos Malchim in Sefer Shoftim? So you look at the Rambam, it'll become clear. First he writes in Sefer Mitzvos, the mitzvah of having a king. And usually in the mitzvah, in the short abbreviation of the mitzvahs, he kind of highlights the most important parts of the mitzvah. So there he tells us, what's the mitzvah of having a king? First he writes, Yikabetz kol umaseinu v'yanhigenu. That in order to gather everyone together and lead them. And then at the end he says, Shetehei masa mutelas alecha. That there should be this fear that the Kli Yakar spoke of earlier. He should instill fear in the nation. V'shiyamen bo be'akov v'agadul v'hamala. In order that they should have this great fear of the great honor and greatness of the king. And the Rambam reiterates this point as well in Hilchas Melachim Perek Gimel Ha'chayud. We're discussing one of the abilities that the king has is he could kill anybody he wants. While the Sanhedrin has to have Edim, they need Hasra, a king could kill anybody he wants without any of those. So the Rambam writes, Kol Ha'horeg Nefashel Shlo Beriah Berurah, Beriah Berurah, anyone who kills someone, a Rotzeach, a murderer, and there's no clear proof that he killed somebody, or there's no warning, afil beid echad, only, even if only one aid saw it, normally we need two aidim, oh sone shaharek bishkaga, or someone who hated someone, killed someone else accidentally, yeshel melech rishus lahargo ulesakein ha'olam, he has the ability to kill anybody he wants, the king, in order to make sure there's peace and harmony in the world, whatever the time needs. He could kill many people on one day. He could hang them, leave them hanging on trees for a number of days, in order to instill fear. So here the Rambam also talks about the idea of establishing shalom, peace, the tikkun olam, and also the need to be instilling fear in the nation. Those two ideas he highlighted in the Rambam. And most people who understand the Rambam think that's the main purpose of the Rambam. The purpose, according to the Rambam, of the king is to have Shalom Malchus and to have Ema, have his Ema throughout the nation. But there's another Rambam which is even clearer to how he understands the role of a king. And that's in Rambam Hilchos Melachim, Perek Dad Halacha Yud. At the end he writes, She'ein Mamlichin Melech Tchila Ela Lasos Mishpat U'Milchamos. The primary reason why you appoint a king is for in order him to be a judge and to be a warrior, a general in battle. So I'm not sure how to deal with why the Rambam doesn't mention that in Sefer Mitzvos, but here he says it straight out, the only reason why you have a king is to be a mishpat and milchamos. And this answers the question why the Rambam puts Hilchos Melachim in Sefer Shoftim. Because in essence, Melech is a shofet. That's the primary reason to have a king, to be a shofet. It also explains perhaps why the Torah places the Dinei Melech in Parsha Shoftim as well. That being said, then what exactly is the role of a king versus the Sanhedrin? If they both serve as Dayanim, is there an overlap? Are they complementing each other? So in that question, there are three different shittas. First is the Ran and the Drash HaRan. The Drash HaRan has a compilation of a few, I guess, I can't say Divrei Torah, but they're long essays in order of the parshios. He has, I think, 12, 13 of them or so. So one of the drushes around, he dedicates to Parsha Shoftim, discussing the role of a Sanhedrin and the role of a Melech. So he says that at the end, where is this? Number 9. V'nimsa, sheminoi ha-shoftim, the Ran writes, the appointment of judges, hayo lishpot mishpatei ha-Torah. Their role is to judge Dinei Torah. V'vad sheim tzot ki ba'atzmam kimo shamar v'shoftos am mishpat tzedek. The role of a shofet is to follow the rules of the Torah. Uminoi hamelech, the appointment of a king, hayal hashlim tikun seidah midyani, in order to fix and to complement the rest of the nation's needs. They complement each other. The main cases go to the Sanhedrin, and everything else that don't fall under the jurisdiction of the judges falls to the king to make sure everything runs smoothly. So there is no overlap. Tshuvas Avni Nezer, the Sakha Sheva Rebbe, also the author of the famous Egle Tal, a work on the Hilchos Lamtes Melachos Shabbos, he says really the Shoftim and the Melech have the same, they see the same cases. V'ashoftim v'hamlochim inun echad haya. They actually saw a judge the same exact cases. Mikol Makom, jumping to that part, the next bold, Mikol Makom le'inun ha'kavana chalukin hein. Their intentions are different though. They could see the same exact case, but their view, perspective, is coming from different angles. The role of the Dayan, he writes, V'akarchach ha-Dayan, Iker ha-Kavana ha-Torah. His Iker intention is figuring out what's the Torah saying? What's the Torah's rule? We have a case here, these two people are fighting, and they sit there, and based on the Gemara he brings, they're sitting there basically learning Torah. The three judges there, by Dini Mamonis at least, are sitting, the Rav has a famous discussion, what the difference between a Beis Din Shel Gimel, Dine Mamonos, versus Dine Nefashos. And he explains that Dine Mamonos is basically three Dayanim sitting around a table learning. They're given a certain case, let's look into the Svarim, let's look into Chazal, and see what the case is. So the Dayan's intention is to learn Torah. Once they come out with a conclusion, they implement it and apply it to the case. However, the role and the intentions of a king is HaMishpat Hu Kli Shebohu Danu Umamid Tikan HaMedina. His focus of the king is a more national focus, to judge in a more national level. That's the role and the focus of the king. The third shita I just brought because it's so interesting. I don't fully understand this. The Kli Chemda, who is actually a Talmud of the Sakhar Shavar Rebbe of the Avni Nezer, if you're familiar with the Kli Chemda's work, oftentimes his parish in Al Torah is always about Ben Noach. He always draws distinctions between Yisrael and Ben Noach. Here too is no different. He says the role of a king, his ability to judge, is only on the Shiva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Only those mitzvahs does he have jurisdiction over. Everything else goes over to the Beis Din. I don't fully understand it. I thought it was interesting. I thought I'd bring it. So these are three shitas, what exactly the role of a king is as a judge. So just to summarize these several shitas we brought forward, we had one, the Kli Yakar, that said the role of a king is simply to instill fear. Seemed to have no... He had some role in terms of fixing the Medina, make sure things are running smoothly, but the ultimate goal was to he should be a person, a figure, to instill fear in the nation. The Or HaChaim thought that the Melech was more of a general, a military leader, but not so much because of his own greatness, but because of he should be a vehicle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should ultimately win the battles. Sefer HaChinuch thought the king was a policymaker. Then the Rambam thinks he was more of a judge, a shofet, and in that we had three different shitas, what exactly the Melech's role is versus that of a Sanhedrin. Now, the final piece to discuss is there's a very interesting halacha about a melech's kavod. A melech cannot be mochel on his kavod. If he tries to be mochel on his kavod, we don't let him be mochel on his kavod. However, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to be mochel on his kavod. There's another problem, though, because from that statement, it sounds like a melech is greater kavod than that of a Talmud Chacham. Because a melech cannot be mochel, a Talmud Chacham can be mochel. The Gemara Sanhedrin writes, Yotes Amin Aleph, Amr Le Shimon Ben Shetach, Yana HaMelech, he tells Yana HaMelech, the king, Amr Aragleha V'yayidu Bach, stand on your feet and you must testify. There's a din, but that an aide has to stand when he gives testimony. There's another din, though, that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit down if he wants to when he gives testimony. The halacha by aide sounds like a Talmud Chacham is greater. You show more respect to a Talmud Chacham, that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit, but a melech has to stand. But we just said before that a melech is greater because a melech cannot be mochel on his kavod. You can't let that kavod go away. So Tosas writes there in Yud Tes Amud Aleph. He says the Talmud Chacham really is greater. That's why he's allowed to sit. But a Talmud Chacham is also allowed to be mochel on his kavod because he has ownership of his kavod. He worked so hard, he's gained ownership of his own kavod and the Torah that he's learned. It's his. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to be mochel, he's allowed to. But in essence, he's really greater. A melech, on the other hand, is not as great. If he's not as great, why can't he be mochel in his kavod? Because the kavod is not his. The melech does not own his own kavod. Tosfos writes, melech hu mishum kra dekam arsom shetehe imaso lecha, that there should be fear. Ki kavodo balo, why is kavod come to the king? Mishum de mitzvos hamakom kachu. That's what the Torah said. The Torah said, you must give respect to the king. Ve'ein yachol yachol afki mitzvos hamakom. And you can't undo the requirement of the Torah. What's that mitzvah samachim? What's that kavod we have to give him? So Rashi in Ksubas Yud Zayin says that Yisrael who's haru sheyasimu aleim simos harbe, that Klai Yisrael was obligated to give multiple simos, multiple offerings of fear. Kolomar shetehe a masu aleim, that their fear should be constantly, they should have this fear of the king constantly on them. Hilkach ein kvod amachol. Since the whole function of the king is to instill fear, like the Kli Yakar wrote, then the melech is not allowed to be mochel in his kavod. It's not about him. It's about the Klai Yisrael has to fear the king. He's just a vehicle of bringing about that fear. But he himself doesn't have any purpose per se. Rabbeinu Yonah gives even more fascinating explanation why he can't be mochel in his kavod. Rabbeinu Yonah, number 4, writes, V'nir li, the reason I think that he can't be mochel in his kavod, the Hasam ki amrina de melech shemachal kvodo ein kvodo machal mishim de kvodo hu kavod shel Yisrael kulo. The melech's kavod is not because of himself, it's rather because he represents Klal Yisrael. Wherever he goes, whatever he does, is a representation of the rest of Klal Yisrael. So it's not his own kavod, it's the kavod of Klal Yisrael, and that's why he can't be mochal. He doesn't have ownership to that either. It's not because he's this image, this distant person we have to fear. It's actually he's part of the people. He represents the people, and that's why he can't be mochel in his kavod. And the final explanation, Tosfos Rosh, which Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned as well, why can't a melech be mochel in his kavod? Aval melech de'enu yachalim cholo mishum de'aduf, not because he's greater than a Talmud Chacham, elo mishum ki la'ashem hamlucha u'malchus ad'arab, mein malchus d'rkiya. Because the malchus of this world is really a representation of the malchusa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And wherever the Melech Yisrael walks, he really represents a small, a little bit, of that of the Melech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Tosfos Rosh writes that he can't be mochel in his kavod. I'd like to just spend the last few minutes on some ideas of Machshava that relate to Malchus in this time of the year. We're here in Adar. There's a very much strong connection between Malchus and Adar and Purim. The Medrash tells us that whenever the word HaMelech is mentioned in the Megillah, that's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch. Hashem isn't mentioned at all, but there's a hint whenever it says HaMelech, Melech Achashverosh, that's Achashverosh. HaMelech, if you look in the Psukim in a few weeks, HaMelech is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch. There are two kings in the Torah, two Jewish kings in the Torah. Yosef, the Melech of Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu. When did Moshe Rabbeinu die? Zayin Adar, born and died in Zayin Adar. Moshe Rabbeinu is very much connected to Adar. Yosef also is connected to Adar. How so? Each of the months, 12 months, are connected, or connected, 12 sons, the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu. Yosef is connected to that of Adar. Why? I believe it's mentioned before, the Dagim. Each of the months also have a symbol. The symbol of Adar is Dagim. And Yosef is connected to Dagim. The fact that Ayin Hara was not Shaletus on Yosef and not Shaletus on Dagim, that's a connection. And also, Yosef had two Shvatim come from him. Like this year, Adar gets split to 2 months as well. So Yosef is clearly, based on Sefer Yetzirah, Yosef is connected Adar. So both Yosef and Moshe Rabbeinu. There are also two Shvatim that produced kings in Tanakh, Binyamin and Yehuda. Shaul came from Binyamin, and David and the rest of the dynasties came from Yehuda. Mordechai, Ish Yehudi, Benyamini, Chazal talk about whether he came from Yehuda, did he come from Shevet Binyamin. He kind of came from both. He really came from Binyamin, but he had a lot of shaychus to being a king or some ruler involved in Shevet Yehuda. So Mordechai, one of the heroes of the story, also has this royal background. Esther HaMalka, of course. I just want to say for interesting that Mordechai Ish Yehudi is the same gematria as Moshe, who we pointed out was also Melech, minus one, but they're allowed to do that in the gematrias. Ish Yehudi equals Moshe, 346 and 345, I think. There is another month of the year that's also connected to Malchus. Tishrei, HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat. So what's the difference of the Malchus of Tishrei versus the Malchus of Adar? So we pointed out through these sources that there are really two basic roles of a king. One is to instill fear and din, and one is more of a shalom malchus, representing Klal Yisrael. So that of Tishrei is clearly that of din, of judgment, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur time. The melech is a hamelech of din. But that of Adar is a melech of shalom and peace and achdus. In fact, the Rambam writes that the melech is the lev of Am Yisrael. He's the heart. He's the center. That where shalom comes from. The letters Melech, Mem, Lam, and Chaf are consecutive, backwards, but in the center of Aleph Beis, perhaps highlighting the point of the Lev, the center of Klal Yisrael. The word Melech backwards is Kulam, represents Achdus also. The Gematria of Melech is 90, Tzadi, Tzadik, a Tzadik who also represents Achdus and bringing everybody together. One of the big themes of Purim really is Achdus. Am Mefuza, Mefurad, a nation that's separate, and the way to combat that was Lech Knosi Yehudim, bring everybody together with Achdus, with Shalach Manos, with our friends, Matanos Lev Yonim, including those who are less fortunate, Sudas together. So the idea of Purim is very much about Achdus and Malchus and these themes. So hopefully this Purim should be one filled with Achdus for all of us. And Shkoyach, and thank you for everybody for coming and joining us here in Shirat Leit Shlomo.